Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Everybody, now, at the same time. Tonight, we continue our look at what they said to and about Jesus as he went to the cross. Now, tonight's a return to a personal they. Now, if you remember on Ash Wednesday, there was a personal plea from Jesus for Judas to turn from his betrayal, from his intimate unfaithfulness. But no, he continued with his plan. And so sadly, he said, "Surely, not I, Lord." Then last week, if we had gathered together, but because of ice we didn't, we would have looked at the they of the Sanhedrin and how their false accusations were used to put Jesus before them in order to actually answer the charge of being the Son of God. You have to think about that for a moment, because they were not wrong. They were not wrong, but they simply could not believe the truth of Jesus being the Christ, the sent one, the anointed one of God. And so they said, oops, we need to go back. There we go. And the Sanhedrin says, he is worthy of death. We said, starting out on this journey, that we wanted to look at what they said as Jesus went to the cross, because what they said back then in Jesus' day and what people say today about Jesus, really, if you look at it, hasn't changed much. People still do as Judas did and betray Jesus' trust. There are groups today, like the Sanhedrin, were back then, who organize around the idea that Jesus simply cannot be who he said he was. We all know people. We all know people who also won't grasp the truth that God took on human form and flesh so that he could come and do what we needed him to do for us in our place. So today, as then, people reject and ridicule Christ. I can remember some many years ago, there was a movie that came out around Easter time. And the whole purpose of the movie was to ridicule those who believe that Jesus was the Son of God. I can remember the cover art, but I can't think of the title right off. Anyway. The idea, though, was to poke fun at organized religion based on the truth that Jesus is God. So today, people continue, as they did then, to reject Jesus. What they, the Judases and Sanhedrins of Jesus' day, said continues to be said by those around us as well. And that brings us to tonight. And the reading from Matthew, where we hear another close, intimate friend of Jesus also betray and reject him, Peter. And what Peter says in his betrayal, it's not just a casual dismissal. It's not said in an offhand manner, though it sounds that way at first. If you look again at verse 70, where Peter says, "I don't know what you're talking about." Doesn't sound very harmful, does it? I mean, this is no unbridled declaration of rejection. It's just a little thing. Just a little thing. Sounds like, "Don't annoy me, little girl. You couldn't possibly understand what's going on, so I'm just going to shoo you away." That's how it might sound to us, but there's more going on here than that. This is a first step down a bad road for Peter. When he says the words, "I don't know," they become the first of three times he uses these exact same words. In the Greek, they are the words "ouk oida," "ouk oida," not "I know." is how they would be translated according to the Greek word order and their meaning. And they get repeated twice more. Not I know, or as we would say it, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. And these seemingly innocent words are the words that take Peter to a very bitter place. Each time he repeats these words, the emphasis grows and it intensifies. It also becomes more personal. More personal for Peter, and more personal in Peter's denial of his friend, his teacher, his rabbi. If you look in verse 72, when Peter there says, "Uk oida," there's the addition of an oath. Peter now moves further down the road of bitterness and rejection by a declarative statement. This is no longer about being annoyed. This is about separating himself without doubt from Jesus in the eyes of those standing around Peter. To me, in some ways, that brings us back around to our own day today. We all know people who have claimed to know Jesus, but then with the eyes of others on them, they want to distance themselves from Jesus, just as Peter did. And Peter made no hesitation in doing that. The use of the oath tells us that. Peter was so anxious to separate himself from Christ that there was no delay on Peter's part to emphatically put distance between himself and Jesus with those words again, "Uk oida," I don't know the man. Then comes the last straw, so to speak. Now, instead of one or two girls, there's a whole group of people who focus their curiosity and their attention on Peter because of his accent. They all know it to be a Galilean accent. And it is the Galilean, Jesus, who is standing just probably a few yards away, now being slapped around by the Sanhedrin in the courtyard of the high priest, where they all are. So now there's real physical danger for Peter. So Peter lashes out with his strongest denial yet. Oh, he still uses the "uk oida," but now he's cursing himself. And he's swearing at those he thinks are accusing him. And again he says, "I don't know the man." So now it comes down to this. Have I ever cringed and cursed like Peter, denying I know the man, Jesus Christ? How about to save my own skin? Have I ever said, "Uk oida"? How different from Peter am I, or you? How different are those we know who we've seen at family gatherings or workplace meetings who have claimed to be Christian, but then join in the swearing and the cursing and using the Lord's name in vain, and so deny him? The point is that we know Peter. We know Peter because we can see him in ourselves and those whom we know and those whom we love. And that's a painful and bitter thing. That is what Peter experienced. In verse 75, it says, he went outside and wept bitterly for his denial. We know this. And we know what they, Peter, have said about Jesus then. We've seen it in our time as well. During Lent, it's right that we focus on the bitter sufferings of Christ for us. But we are also reminded that a bitterness is also shared by Peter and us in our recognition of turning away from Christ, of denying him. But I also want you to remember something. I want you to remember this. Remember that Jesus restored Peter. Jesus restored Peter. Remember that after his resurrection, Jesus and Peter reconciled when Peter confessed his need. So if you and I are going to identify with Peter's denial of Jesus, then remember also to identify with Peter's restoration. That too is yours. It is for that reason that Jesus goes to the cross. What they say about Jesus is said as he goes to suffer and die, in order that the restoration that Peter needs, and that you and I and the whole world need, can happen. Remember that the compassion that Christ died to gain for us, he showered on Peter. He showers it also on you and I as well, as we come to communion tonight, and all the time through his word. Never forget that. Never forget that that restoration is for those that we also might want to turn a judgmental eye toward. We might think they're traitors like Peter. We've been forgiven and we've been shown compassion from God in order that we also might show some compassion to those who also need it. St. Paul reminds us of that in 1 Corinthians. Being reminded of Peter's denial should soften and break our hearts for those that we know who in their weakness have also denied Christ. Let us take the compassion that Christ has poured out on us and pour it out on them as well. Let us not say ouk oida about those who need what Christ died to win for Peter, for you, for me, and for this world. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth and